podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 2, episode 6, number 96, numbers, things, 3, 6, 9, 6.
Season 3! Season 3!
Yeah. Craziness. How's it going, guys?
Good. Super.
Nope. Anybody like answer all at once here?
Wait a minute, and then answer both at the same time.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah,
really, that... just to show our connectivity and our synchronicity.
Yeah,
that makes the most sense.
Also, I have like an eyelash, and it's really not making things easy for me. Oh. As in, it's not where it's supposed to be. Like, I have several eyelashes, which is this one in particular is causing problems.
I'm sorry. That happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you all talk amongst yourself while I figure it out.
Okay. Well, I'm painting my nails as I do on Tuesdays. You know, good times making the
and
studio.
And then on Wednesdays
stuff.
We wear pink.
And then on Wednesdays we do wear pink. I went to Long Island this past weekend for my niece's first birthday, which is kind of crazy because you guys remember last year when I recorded a show and then, no, she was born on Tuesday. And I was like, guys, didn't we have to like put off recording to Thursday?
I am not the person
we
who
did.
Would remember that.
Yeah, me either.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that she was born on a Tuesday, and I, you know, flew up there with like a half an hour's notice. And
yeah, that part I remember because I remember just being in awe that that's a thing that people can do in this modern age.
Well, yeah. Well, that's also because I happen to work 10 minutes from the airport with traffic. Without traffic, it's like even less. But no, I'm like super close to the airport. So that's actually really why I was able to do that. But yeah, so that was a whole year ago and I told this story and, you know, she was born via emergency C-section and I was going home the next day and then I got to the airport after my like hour long Uber ride or Lyft ride and my flight was canceled and everybody's flights was canceled. So it was like forever to get out. So then I had to stay overnight with my sister, but I got locked out of her apartment because she had no idea that I was coming. And I like hung out some bar downstairs, but I was pregnant. So I was that pregnant lady downstairs eating mozzarella sticks and drinking non-alcoholic beer because I was explaining it to the guy. I was like, it's not that like I'm a teetotaler or anything. I can't. And he was like, well, I can give you an Old Duels. And I was like, thanks. That would make me feel a lot more like I fit in this bar where there's like two other people sadly drinking. But please give me all of the mozzarella sticks. So I got
I just love that bar serve O'Doul's, like just to have it, like, you know, just in case.
Yeah, they did. So then my sister, you know, got back from like a nighttime pure bar and was like, oh, hey, you're here. And I was like, yeah, me. Hi. And then I had to take the train to Philly the next day and flew out of Philadelphia. Good times. And then, you know, went home, pooped, and then went to work.
I'm glad you included that important part of the story.
It was just to make the story more relatable because, you know, people listening out there might not relate to the flying up quick notice or having to travel to a different airport from LaGuardia to Philadelphia. I had to add the humanizing part in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like, for me, there's something very like pre-9/11 about being able to get a ticket and fly somewhere like within half an hour, you know, like it feels like something of like an era gone by where you just walk up to the desk and say, I would like to get a ticket to go to New York, please. And they're like, sure, let me help you with that. There's one leaving in 20 minutes. Like, I feel like that just doesn't happen anymore. You have to book it like 6 weeks in advance. Otherwise, it's $1 million.
No, you can. It wasn't cheap, but you can still like, you know, book same day. You have to go to the counter. You have to go to the counter because I tried to do it online last year. They couldn't do it online because it was like within an hour of the flight. I called the phone number as I was on my way to the airport. I think it was like American or US or whatever. And then they told me I had to go to the counter and then I was able to get it at the counter. But yeah, like it's doable. It wasn't like the most ideal of things, but
I think it just feels like something out of a movie and not like something that people do in this day and age anymore. Like I have this kind of romantic idea of it from, you know.
Well, maybe you should put that on your bucket list to do before you're 40.
Okay, I like that.
Just go to an airline counter and buy a ticket and then leave.
And then leave.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I feel like you have to set like parameters for it. It's like buy a ticket for anywhere that's like under $500. So like,
oh, yeah, no, mine, it was,
like,
it was
great. You can go to like, oh, yeah. I can't think of a place because I'll ultimately offend someone if I pick some place that I think sounds boring.
Las Vegas, it's so shitty that they make it real cheap for you to go there.
Anyway, that was a year ago. And I can't believe that that was a year ago. And I also can't believe that I remember this story a year later, but go me. So she turns one this Wednesday, tomorrow, as we were recording, August 1st. So it's, you know, kind of crazy. And Alex is the same age now that Evangeline was when she came down here when he was born.
Okay.
So that's just crazy to me.
They're 6 months apart.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's crazy to me. Like, time flies. So we went up there. I was supposed to fly up on Friday night. I went in on, so I came home for lunch, finished packing because I had to pack up for Zach, was trying to figure out if I, because we were flying Southwest, if I should check my suitcase or if I should just do the carry-on or whatever. Because, you know, bags fly free on Southwest because your ticket is so fucking expensive. So it's built into that. So I went online to see like how long my layover was because Jay was coming up the next morning. So it would just be me and the boys. And it says flight canceled. Now I'm on the app. So I'm looking and I'm like, holy shit. Like my heart is pounding. I'm thinking, did I like hit something on the app like and cancel it by accident? Like, so I'm kind of freaking out. So I go online on my laptop and it says that it's canceled. And I'm like, shit, I didn't get any notice of this whatsoever. Like, whatsoever. So I call them, and you know, you're on hold forever. And I get on the phone. I talk to this woman who clearly, like, was not having, she either really was bad at her job or didn't really care or was just having a bad day. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt that there was a lot of canceled flights that day and she was having a bad day. So you're like, I call and I'm like, I get on, I'm like, kind of out of breath and I'm like, I just went online and I found out I didn't get a notification, so I don't know, like, I don't know anything about this. Like, my flight is canceled. Is it really canceled? Like, because I didn't get anything. And she's like, well, we sent you a text message. And I was like, I don't have a text message. But then I'm like, I don't want to. And I'm like, I was like, I didn't get a text message. I didn't get a notice from the app. Like, I didn't get an email. I didn't get a phone call. I didn't get anything. Is it really canceled? She's like, we sent you a text message. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I realized, like, she must be, like, getting a lot of people arguing with her today. So I switched gears and I'm like, okay, well, regardless of whether or not I was notified, where do I go from here? What are my options moving forward? And she goes to me, ma'am, if air traffic control tells us that we cannot fly a plane, then the plane is not taking off. I'm like, I know. I'm not arguing about whether or not the plane is taking off. I just want to know how you're getting me on another plane. So she was like, I can't help you with that. She's like, everything is sold out until tomorrow night. And it like left at 4 something and it got in at 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, is there anything like anything else? Because I have to go to a birthday party and I'm traveling with a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old and I can't get, I'm not getting them someplace at, you know, 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
Especially when they have a birthday party, like, the next day. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, that's a recipe for disaster for everyone. So, like, is there anything you can do for me? So she transfers me. I was like, can I talk to your manager? And I was really, really nice about it. I was very impressed with myself. And so she transfers me over. And this woman, you know, definitely had much better customer service skills, but was still like, nope, sorry, we can get you into Newark. And I was like, okay, what time? And it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, so I'm going into New Jersey? But it went down to Florida first. She's like, so we can go to Fort Lauderdale, and then we can go up to Newark. And I was like, next option, please. So
it's like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. So it ended up being that they couldn't get me on any flight that really that wasn't the one that got into LaGuardia the next day. And I was like, no, I'm only up there until Monday. This is a quick trip. I'm not going to do that. So I was looking online at the same time and I found other flights. I found that there were exactly 2 seats left on the flight that Jay was taking the next morning.
Oh my God.
I booked that. But it sucked. But so thankfully they gave me a refund from Southwest. But we have the companion pass. So it was just really the refund for my ticket because Zach was flying for free. So I spent double the amount of money on the flight. And I was like, oh, this really sucks. Like it was painful to press submit for the payment.
Cause I'm sure it was.
It was double the amount that I had spent on my flight up there because I had to buy Zach's ticket. And yeah, which sucks so bad. But when I had bought Jay's flight, because his ticket was only $94, and now it was $300 for me and for Zach, so it was $600 total.
Oh, God.
That's, like, insane that, like,
it went up that plane much.
Prices can fluctuate like that. Like, it really, it's just such a rigged system. Like, it sucks.
It really is.
Yeah, there's so many things like that where I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that this seat on this plane is worth $95.
Right. Six days ago.
And then, yeah, a different day it's worth $300. Like, no, it's worth one or the other.
Right. Oh, neither. I was like. Right.
So it's like anytime you're trying to book a flight, like I like put on a flight tracker and I monitor it for like a week. Like weeks. Yeah.
It's obnoxious.
And then I just have an anxiety attack and I'm pretty like, oh my God, it went up like $10. We just should book it now.
And that's what like, I do too. But with the Southwest, it's
be like that.
I know. It's better with Southwest. Well, no, Southwest, like, again, they're so expensive, but it's better because Zach flies for free. Mm. It's nice to have that, but, like, oh, my God. I was like, oh, after Comic-Con and everything, like, this is definitely not what I want. So, yeah, that was a little bit of a moment. So I ended up emailing Southwest, and I complained, and I explained to them, I was like, this is a huge inconvenience because I didn't get notified. I was like, I will give you screenshots. I will give you my phone bill when it comes out to show you that I did not get a text message from you guys. So in the end, they gave me $200 additional back. So like it kind of evens out that it doesn't even out, but I only ended up spending an extra $100 at the end. But you know what the pain in the ass is? They're mailing me the $200. You're like, okay, the voucher, because it's only going on Southwest, which again is fine because I fly with them a lot. Like, okay, well, the voucher should be in the mail within 7 to 10 days. And I'm like,
what the fuck?
I was like, you guys do paper vouchers? What?
Yeah. I mean, do you realize that, like, your mail car recently got caught on fire?
No,
like,
oh my God.
Do they really want to mail you something?
Oh my God.
I'm sure because it saves them money in the same way that they oversell seats because that's how they make money.
How can that possibly save them? Because they're like, oh, if we give a paper voucher, they'll just lose it and never use
possibly.
It.
Possibly.
If it's electronic, it's forever.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be my friggin' luck that Roberto's going to deliver it to the wrong house.
And then you're never going to see it again.
Never going to see it again. But
that's like a real test of someone's moral fiber. If you received a voucher from an airline that wasn't meant for you, do you keep it?
Well, it says that the vouchers are interchangeable. So it's like, I guess essentially it's like 200 Southwest dollars. So I'm like, are they giving me like 200? I could spend like $200 worth of like booze on the plane or something.
They essentially gave you Monopoly.
Yeah, I'm like.
They took your real money and gave you Monopoly money back.
Yep.
Yeah, this round for everyone on the plane and all of their internet is on me for the day.
Literally, you didn't pass go and they gave you $200.
Pretty much.
And they'll just charge everyone else a little bit more for the next flight and they'll make up for the fake money.
Exactly.
Yes, good boy.
Such a rigged deck.
I know.
It's terrible.
But it really was a huge bummer. But we all got there. It worked out great. The party was super cute. I posted pictures on Instagram, but my sister and my mom handmade these cookies. They were, because it was a You Are My Sunshine theme party. And they made suns. Was it clouds or the moon? It was clouds, right? Rainbow. So it was the moon. Okay. My dad said it was the moon, but it didn't really look like the moon, but it looked like a cloud. Yeah. Anyway, so it was rainbows, the sun, and little clouds, and it was so good. It was great. We just had a good time. And then the next day I had an even better time because I went to the outlets and I got these beautiful puppies for $10 at the Kate Spade outlet, and they're my new favorite earrings and I'm gonna wear them forever. And essentially, to the listeners out there, they are like this obnoxious pink color that I can't describe other than it is like really, really, really bright pink. And
would that be like a fuchsia?
Yeah, it looks like fuchsia.
Yeah, it's like here. Yeah, it's like fuchsia.
Like a dark pinky purple.
Oh yeah, it's they're like my new favorite things. I don't think I'm ever going to take them off, especially because they were only $10. They were on clearance. We were like, yes. And then I fulfilled a longtime dream. Amanda, you know this dream. Maybe you don't remember this dream of mine.
Try me.
But it's a long, long time dream of mine to own mustard colored jeans that fit me and make my butt look nice.
This does sound like something familiar because I actually bought a pair of mustard jeans.
With me.
First time I went to visit you in Raleigh.
And ever since then, that is when my dream started.
Yeah. And I bought a red pair too.
You
I
did.
I had to get rid of them though because they don't fit anymore.
I'm sorry. Oh, mine.
Okay. They had a good run.
Well, get this. I got them. I was super proud of myself. And I think that this was like the retail god shining down on me because these were also on clearance for $5.98, so it was like $7 after tax.
Nice.
I was like, whew, okay, I feel like I've gotten a win here. I've got bright pink earrings and mustard colored pants.
Right, for, a lot of color. Like, a lot of color in your wardrobe.
I was like, yay. So anyway, that was what I did.
Nice. Also, nice. I've been thinking about this. I actually haven't stepped foot inside a clothing store. And I can't remember how long.
I would say that it has been a very long time for me, too, other than when I went to get a maternity dress for Christmas time. But before that, it had also been a while because I go to like Zulily or Amazon a lot. Went to that wedding last year and I got a dress in two sizes off of Amazon, tried it on, kept the one that fit.
Nice. Yeah. Well, it's like now that I do Stitch Fix and I've been really trying to be mindful of like my spending and not buying things I don't need. So outside of Stitch Fix, I'm really only buying like workout clothes or like I bought new running shoes this weekend because
nice.
I desperately needed them.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
And then it's like if I need something specific, but I've been trying.
I quit Stitch Fix finally. They were not doing a great job the last couple of months. And I was like, why do I have to keep paying a styling fee if I don't like what you're sending me? And then I was like, oh, and they keep... I don't know. Like, I don't know the actual carbon footprint of, like, getting clothes in the mail versus buying them in a store.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling kind of guilty about, like, the constant sending back and forth. And I think there's, like, a lot of good used clothing stores in town. So I think I'm going to try, stuff like, again, like you said, running shoes or even, like, workout clothes in general. Definitely bras and underwear. Like, certain things that, like, you need to get new.
Yeah.
But I think the rest I'm going to try to do more, like, used.
That's really, yeah. And I think I've kind of done sort of a similar thing. Like, if I'm going to, like, buy something that's not my, like, quarterly Stitch Fix.
Yeah.
To try and do, like, vintage stores. And
yeah. And
I have to really love it and really need it.
See.
No, that's good. I was doing monthly, but It
gets to be too expensive.
I didn't really like I gave them all this feedback and I feel like it wasn't really taken into account from month to like over time.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like into the void. And like when I get aggro about stuff like that, I'll just like get aggro and just be like, I'm done. And I gave them like a huge long because they asked for my feedback for why. Like, well, if you really want to know, like these are the reasons. 1, 2, 3.
Right. Well, and it's like, it's one thing. It's like, if you got one bad experience, you're done. But it sounds like this was like continually happening.
Yeah.
And like, I think after like 2 or 3 rounds of like sending everything back.
Yeah.
Like if they don't change what they're doing, like the only thing you can do is change what you're doing by no longer subscribing to the service.
Right. Cause it was really fun when I got stuff I liked, it was really fun. And I still have like, you know, some of the stuff that I wear all the time is stuff from them, but
I'm supposed to get a box on Monday, but I'm into like they have this new thing on the app that I've kind of become borderline obsessed with. They have like these little quiz thing every day that it's like, would you wear this, would you wear that?
Yes, and I was spending all my time doing that. Yes, I would do that as much as possible because it is kind of, it's like oddly fun, but
it's really fun.
I have a question.
I would get stuff and I'd be like, I'd like look at it and be like, I could have sworn I explicitly said on the thing, thumbs down to this.
Thumbs down. Like, maybe you just had a terrible stylist.
That's also possible.
I changed stylist a couple of times.
Oh.
Yeah. Which also might be why there wasn't a consistency of feedback, but I feel like when a new stylist comes on, they should probably read up on the history of that person, but whatever.
Oh, by the way, my nails look fucking great, especially with my earrings.
They really do. With
your earrings. I like that color.
And with your shirt, you know, that's my high school colors.
Really? Yellow and purple?
Purple and yellow?
Yellow and purple, yeah. Purple
awesome. And yellow. Yeah, nice. I've been into yellow this season in general, so that's why I'm super extra stoked about the pants. But so I will fill out a survey all day, like paper, electronic, as long as it's not over the phone, like give it to me.
Yeah, no, over the phone. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. So how do you guys feel about surveys, though? Clearly you like them.
I don't, though.
It depends. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't particularly. I just really like the Stitch Fix one because it's kind of like a game.
It's thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah. And
it's like oh, what's going to be next? Yeah.
It's like, yes, next? No, yes.
Is it like a BuzzFeed quiz, but like you get clothes at the end?
Kind of, yeah. There's like, I don't know, like 20 outfits or 20 looks or pieces of clothing that they have that day. And you can like click through them all and then you go to the end and it's like, that's it for today. You know, try again tomorrow.
That's cool though.
Yeah. I just discovered it like a week ago and it's like my new obsession.
Yeah. I'm a little jealous though that you guys can do things, not like Stitch Fix, but like the Vinches and stuff. Cause I don't have like the time to go out and do things right now, but someday.
Well, I don't either. I just like the idea of it. I haven't actually done it in a long time.
Okay, cool. I feel slightly better.
But someday, like I have lots of like things I've gotten at thrift stores and stuff that I get lots of good compliments on.
Yeah.
But like, they're all things that I got like a year ago and then sat on them for 6 months until I had worked up the nerve to go to the dry cleaners and get them hemmed and altered.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's like, it's a bit more of a process and it takes longer from like buying the clothing to like having it fit you properly.
Yeah. While I'm off this week, I was telling you guys before we started, I took this week off because it's Jay's last week home for paternity leave. And one of my goals this week, of course, guys, yes, I'm going to work on my scrapbook from 2017. That's going to get finished. But one of my other goals is to, I really want to make a dress. I think I could do it. I know how to, I have a sewing machine that I know how to use. I want to drag my ass to Joann's or Walmart because it's kind of like, you know, same patterns. I want to go pick out something and I want to try to like make a dress. I actually know I have two different pattern ideas in mind. And if I can't find them there, then I'm just going to like wing it based because they're based on two different dresses that I have now that I wear all the time. I'm just going to wing it based on that. I really don't know if there's a thing that's going to happen because clearly I have priorities with like the scrapbooking, but it's on my list. And because
my friend Megan sews all the time. And what she does, if she can't find like a pattern in the box that she likes, she'll buy multiple patterns and like Frankenstein them.
I saw that on Pinterest when I was Googling things like women who kind of like mixed and match. So I don't know. We'll see. I need something very simple. But anyway, I didn't mean to hijack the conversation.
No, this is
super impressed.
I like this. I'm all for it.
Yes, but please, again, the scrapbook needs to happen first. And
hey,
could you like sew back on a couple of buttons for me?
Sure.
If you can make a whole dress, holy shit.
Well, because they're easy. Everyone should learn how to sew a button.
I can do a button, but I like it better when it's done by a professional because then it's done well.
Yeah. It's the key is the wrapping it around before you finish it to reinforce.
Yeah, like, she's right.
Well, and I do that, but it's still just like if you look at the other side then, the side that you're not supposed to look at, it's just like a huge mess.
Yeah.
Because I can do it. It's just not good.
Well, if anybody out there has any tips, let me know because like this is a goal this week, but it's likely not going to happen because, again, scrapbook. Also, I have a couple of pictures to print out. I need to put them in frames. I used one of the frames that I bought from Michael's, though.
Oh, my good. Aunt.
So my aunt had requested, like, just some pictures or whatever. So she has an apartment in the city. So I made her a collage of pictures, and then I put it in one of the frames.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, is everything okay? Oh, sorry. He lost at Tron.
Oh, bummer.
I like literally. I thought that you were telling me not to tell this story. Okay. I was like, what? What is it that private?
Also, wait. While we have derailed, I got to show you guys. So Daniel was in Ohio this weekend. And I come home, and I'm, like, getting dressed, and I see this on the bed. It's his old, Letterman jacket.
Oh, my God!
But, like, okay. Wow. So, like, look at the back. Look at the, okay. Like, look at that.
Oh, hey.
Come look at this. Wait, come here. So this is Daniel's Letterman jacket, and look at what's on the back of it.
Look at this funny thing.
Yeah, but it looks like people... doing it in the butt. We're doing it from behind. Nope. We have never seen non-fake wrestling because we are laughing at this now.
We've never seen what wrestling?
Wait. Shandy just heard dudes fucking each other. She didn't hear anything else.
And you can let her in that?
Yeah, you can let her in that?
Yep, apparently you can. Also didn't know you could put more than one letter on your jacket. Mm-hmm. I never have.
I had one for cross country.
I didn't do the sports. Now, if you could have lettered in French.
Yeah, I didn't do the sports well.
Okay, where were we? Shit.
The frames. It always comes back to those goddamn frames.
That was good. I was happy about that. So I've got some frames to do this week. And you guys are talking about clothing. So let's get back to that.
Yeah. Bought new running shoes. Went to so I had a weekend by myself. A completely all by myself weekend.
I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. So Daniel was in Ohio the past couple of days for a visit. And I didn't go. Which originally was fine because I was supposed to have plans to go visit a friend of mine in New Jersey this weekend. And then that got pushed to this upcoming weekend. So then I was faced with oh crap, I have a whole weekend by myself.
Oh, you could have just gone to the ticket counter and been like, I want a ticket to Ohio, ma'am.
But it terrified me to like spend that much alone time with myself. So really? Then I was like, right. So I was like, well, crap, now I have to do it to prove to myself it's not scary to be alone with yourself.
Oh, my God. That is priority more than the scrapbook, but it will never happen.
Well, I think it's also probably something about how much I don't really like myself, the fact that I don't want to be my own company for 48 hours. So that was also kind of a reminder of like, look at how much fun you can have with yourself.
No.
You're not so bad.
No, that hour that I was home alone to pack for Zach and then be on the phone to yell at Southwest was like the best hour of my week. I was like, it's so quiet here. What is going on? Anyway.
So I just kind of did whatever. I got
you had a martini.
I did. Ooh. I had a martini. I got a pedicure, which was an experience now that I'm allergic to nail polish. It's kind of something I avoid doing. And like, I used to love getting pedicures because I mean, who doesn't? Like, it's fun. But it's kind of embarrassing to, you know, be like, well, do you have vegan nail polish? Because I'm allergic to this thing called shellac. And I swear to you, it's an ingredient in nail polishes. But like, if you do a Google search, you can't really find it.
Hashtag
and like,
it's just shellac free.
Yeah, it's really like this whole thing. And so like I went and like the salon, they were like super sweet. And they're like, no, we don't have any vegan nail polish. But like we'll do a little research and to like see if maybe the ones we do have might work. And,
oh, that was nice of them.
It didn't. And he's like, I'm sorry. The only thing I'm coming back with is like, I'm like, I know it's fine. I'll just do it without nail polish. Like just the other things. And then I went home and I painted them with like the nail polish I have at home that I know is fine.
You should just bring your own. Completely.
I know. And that's why I was like, well, next time I come, like I'll bring my own. Like it's fine. I watched a shit ton of girly television that Daniel doesn't like to watch. So like I finished season 2 of Glow, which I highly recommend it. And I believe Matt suggested it to us in the Facey Back. I think it would be a nice one for us to talk about. I think season two was very satisfying. And then I also watched a documentary about the real GLOW, like the real Glorious Women of Wrestling. And it really enhanced my viewing experience to like how closely they followed or like what they borrowed from the real life thing.
Awesome.
So yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I bought new running shoes, which was definitely needed.
Nice.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. That was okay.
Sweet.
Just some things.
Shani, what did you do?
I went to a concert in Berkeley.
Ooh, very fancy.
And not really fancy, no, but...
This sounds so cool. I went to a concert in Berkeley.
It was a very small punk rock show of a French band that Frank likes.
Oh my God, it sounded even cooler.
Because we used to do that all the time in France. It's not really my thing, but that's my, like, I'm being interested in what you're interested in. You know, like, I'm showing interest and I will go to these concerts with you. But not, you know, not as many opportunities here, at least for those types of concerts, but like of the French variety. But that was kind of fun. We met this rando French dude in the audience and we like spent a lot of time talking to him. And then we like talked to the band also because the band has played with Frank's former band that he had when he was in France, and Frank was wearing their shirt. So they were like, wait, where did you get that? Cause you wouldn't expect it. It's, you know, they're just like very small bands. You wouldn't expect it like halfway across the world. So that's kind of fun. But yeah, that was pretty much all I did over the weekend.
Nice.
That's awesome. So what kind of instrument did Frank play in his band?
He played drums.
Ooh. Huh.
He doesn't strike me as a drummer. That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I used to be like kind of there, like, I mean, not like a groupie because I was dating him, but then also like a groupie because I was dating him.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were still fucking a band member.
You were dating him because he was in the band.
No, I was
dating him. Right. And then you found out he's in a band.
Yeah, so I like sometimes went to their practices and I went to all their shows and I went to like a bunch of shows with them. And he used to organize concerts in France. Like he started this like little local association that would put on shows and used to help out with that. And yeah, so past life. So that's kind of fun to like do again. And that's about it. I did, though, over the weekend after we recorded, actually almost immediately after we recorded, not really over the weekend, remember that there was all this stuff that I meant to talk about last week that I didn't talk about. So I have like little notes.
Go for it.
Yeah, enlighten us.
So one of them was just like, I have a note in our outline and I had a note in my notebook, maternity leave. When I was in Montana last week or the week before, whatever, one of my friends that I saw again from grad school who had come back is German. And so she's like, you know, after grad school, she went back to Germany and she's been living there. She's married to an American, though. And so they both live there. And like she has a kid and she's pregnant with her second kid. And it was just so interesting and also very depressing to like talk with her about things because like she gets a year of maternity leave.
That's
incredible.
Don't even.
And it was interesting because, you know, we have a couple of friends now who have small kids and like, just her kind of reactions to that, to her observations of things. And obviously she knows American culture because she lived here for a long time. But, you know, somebody was asking her, like, you know, would you guys ever consider moving back? Like her husband, his family all lives in Montana and everything. And she was kind of like, you know, no. I mean, maybe one day, like a long time down the road, but it's just like they have it so much better in so many things. Like she gets a year of maternity leave with full salary.
How companies even able to do that? Like it's amazing.
Yeah, how are they able to do that?
Right. It's like I ask for a raise and it's like, we don't have any money for that.
Right. Well, it's, you know,
go away for a year and we'll pay for it.
If your country embraces, you know, a little bit more.
What, doing like, better for raising the next generation of people?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, and like, you know, her kids, you know, are probably going to one day go to college. So it's like, well, if they're, you know, if they stay in Germany, like they can go for free. If they come back to the U.S., they can pay thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, which do you choose?
Right. I was like, and I get it. Like, we're a way bigger country than, like, most of these countries that can afford to do full years of maternity.
We can afford it. No, we can afford it. We just don't prioritize it. Like, we can 100% afford it. If we can afford the other things that we pay for, you know, it's a matter of priority. But anyway, so that, yeah. And somebody was even asking about, like, because, like, some of the, like, so the women who have kids were, like, talking about pumping. And somebody was like, oh, like, do you pump? Like, because I think, like, all of them breastfed, so somebody asked her and she was kind of like, like she has, you know, for certain occasions. She's like, no, like not like, you know, everyone else was like, you know, crazy pumping. And she was like, oh, I guess it's because they have to go back to work. So anyway, that was my thing about maternity leave. Also,
well, your friend is that lucky. I just gotta say that.
What's that?
Your friend is super lucky and I'm really jealous.
Yeah, no, it's a good it's a good situation. She was just like, and it's just so matter of fact, like, she was just like, yeah, I mean, like, if you want kids, like, Germany just really makes it easy. I was like, yeah. Wow. Yeah, they do. Like, shit, I don't even want kids, and that almost makes me want to have kids. That's like, Jesus. They just, like, wow, they care about their citizens. That's great.
Yeah.
So there was that.
Okay.
Cultural differences. Yay. Then the wedding that I went to, I feel like I didn't really talk about very much. There were all these like wonderful little feminist touches that were really fun. So a lot of things that kind of reminded me of various conversations we've had on the podcast. So like, for example, the bride walked down the aisle with her father and mother.
I love that tradition. Oh, yeah. I feel like you see that more and more these days. I think that's great. Like, you know, but particularly, like, both parents theoretically put in the same amount of work. I mean, yes, that's not always the case, but
probably the mom put in more. But yes, exactly. That's yeah. But yeah, like, there's something super creepy about the father-daughter thing that we have with, like, father-daughter balls and father giving away the bride and all this weird stuff. But yeah, if you're gonna like kind of go that more traditional route to at least have both of your parents sort of giving their blessing. I thought that was really nice. And then in their vows, there were a lot of, so they wrote their own vows, which were really nice, but there was a lot of talk about equal partners. Like, you could have drinks at the ceremony, which is the second time that I've seen that at a wedding, which is great.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. And so I should have had a drinking game if I had known better, of like every time the words like equal or partner are brought up. So that was really nice. But then mostly I forgot about the beer-soaked tampons.
What?
That's a little gross. Please elaborate.
40 minutes into the show, we're just getting to beer-soaked tampons.
To be fair, it is in the outline.
So, okay, I don't have the outline up. I have you guys up because I want to see your pretty faces.
Well, I mean, it's there. I glanced at it before we started.
So actually...
Oh, Paul. My God. This is, like, going to blow my mind.
Well, just wait for it. So it's actually not as good as you're thinking. But anyway, so Paul, who we mentioned on the last podcast, who is there, whose wedding anniversary is today. Happy anniversary.
And happy birthday, Harry Potter.
Yes,
and exactly. Happy birthday, Harry Potter.
And JKR.
So anyway, he texted me after listening to the episode and he was like, oh, like, I just listened to the broadcast. And he mentioned like, oh, I'm surprised you didn't talk about the beer soaked tampons. I was like, oh yeah. It was a joke. There weren't actually beer soaked tampons, but there was, I think it started because maybe somebody saw a tampon on the ground or I can't remember, but we were joking about how to get drunk faster.
Oh no.
Which none of us are actually into. Like it was just like, it was a joke of like a joke because that's the thing is no one really cares anyway.
Yeah.
But because tampons had been mentioned or whatever, Darren, who's Paul's brother, was making this joke about how like we should soak tampons and then insert those, you know, wherever. And then you get drunk faster. And I was like, you guys, speaking of beer soaked tampons, have you seen Blockers?
Yes.
Good segue.
Talk about a hot beer injection.
Right. They're like, what? I'm like, no, you guys have to see this movie. It's super funny. And there's this thing with, butt bonging, and it's hilarious. And have you ever heard of this? And anyway,
so what was the consensus? Was it a thing, or it was just a thing for the movie?
No, I don't. Like, we're just too not cool. We didn't know. I don't think. I think maybe one person had heard of it as a joke, but like, no, it was not. No, and like in the movie too, it's kind of a joke, right?
I think so.
No. In the movie, it's not a thing. They trick him into doing it.
They trick him into thinking,
right?
It's a thing.
But it's like sort of set up to be like a urban legend kind of thing, you know? Like it.
Yes.
I mean, we live in a world where Tide Pods are. Eating Tide Pods.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's, I think, what it's playing on.
You know, like, butt beers is not that far.
In a world.
Like, it could be a thing.
When you put beer up your butt.
Yeah.
And beer on your tampon.
Beer butt place. Bongs. Yeah. They could all be things.
Yeah.
Nobody heard my hot beer injection joke, but I thought it was funny.
I didn't. Nice. Give me another chance to laugh.
Talk about a hot beer injection.
I liked the dad spin you put on it. I thought that was good.
Well, we were just talking about blockers, and, you know, it was a dad thing to do.
Okay, so. That's why I liked it. I got it.
Thanks. Marco Polo.
So that's all I had from last time. And then actually, not this last weekend, but yesterday, I had my first acupuncture appointment.
Yes, tell us about this.
How was it?
Tell us about it.
It was really cool. Like, the whole thing lasted like an hour.
That's a long time.
And so, like, she had me lay flat down. And for the naysayers in the listenership, I mean, she's a medical doctor who's also, I'm guessing, Chinese and has like a specialty in Chinese medicine. And I don't know. I just think, like, I would be interested to know if people are on board with acupuncture or not. And if they're not, then I would maybe wonder. I would invite them to check their bias. But anyway,
a lot of insurance cover it. Would
lead yeah,
me
my
to
insurance
think
covers it.
That modern Western medicine is on board,
which is also right. Which is also like one of the things that rubs me the wrong way in the first place is this idea that like Western medicine has to like give its okay for it to right. be okay, which is mm-hmm. also sort of showing, but like, yeah, even Western medicine, like my insurance covers it. So I went and she had me, cause I have, I went for totally unrelated to my physical therapy stuff. Just like my neck and, shoulders are just like hurt and like my lower back and stuff. And so I went and she like had me lay down, put a bunch of needles in like all the different places on like my shoulders and neck and all the way down my my back to my lower back, and then she like hooked it up, and this part I couldn't see because I was like down, she like hooked it up to this machine that then like was pulsating in
now
my body.
That I don't think I would like. Okay, that would make me feel uncomfortable.
No, but it wasn't, it was very light.
Yeah, I want to do acupuncture. I just don't have a reason to, but I want to.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you can do it for a lot of different pain type things. So anyway, so that went on for a long time, and it was a weird experience because I like, so you're just laying there, and I was trying to sort of just like clear my mind and like sort of like, you know, not like meditate, but like, you know, when you're just, you have to lay there for a long period of time, like whatever. So I was also then kind of like drifting in and out of not like sleep, but you know. Anyway, so that went on for a while. And then afterwards, she took all the needles out. And anyway, none of it hurt at all. I could barely feel them. And then at the end, she did a little cupping.
Oh, yeah.
On my back.
Cut it real good.
which was different than what I had had for my leg. And it was more like just these jars. And anyway, then she left them on for a little while. And that wasn't for very long. And then took them all off. And then that was that.
Nice.
Do you feel any difference, or does it take a certain amount of time before you start to feel the effects?
So, like, I feel better. I don't feel, I mean, I would say I feel pretty significantly better, and I don't know how long it will last. And I can have 40 sessions a year with my insurance, so I could go back like.
Oh, you can go back like weekly at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of sessions. That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, and it was interesting too, because afterwards, like yesterday, I was just like super tired. Like after, it's like oddly exhausting. Like it does shit to you.
Yeah.
You
know,
it's moving your chi around.
That's what she said.
It's shifting your energy.
I asked for an explanation.
And an explication. Yes. I wanted both. I am thorough.
Yeah, that's the word in French. So it's like sometimes when you have those words that are so similar and I've had like a beer, then the French version might come out. But anyway, it was nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mama G is a big fan of the acupuncture as well. Yeah. She says good things about it. Nice. Sounds. Yeah. You guys can swap notes on that too.
Yeah. I wonder if I could do acupuncture for my IT band, or is that something that wouldn't.
Why don't you ask your physical therapist?
Yeah. I'm into it.
That's cool. You have to tell us like if you have any long lasting or you know how it goes after a while, because I'm like super into this. I had a friend who did it for fertility and.
Whoa.
Well, I had two. One of them did get pregnant, but it also could have been like a coincidence or whatever. But the other one. Yeah. Although she didn't get pregnant, she had like problems with like follicle growth, and after she had done it for a month, she had more follicles that grew. Wow. So like it did have some kind of effect. She just didn't have what she wanted, but it did do something. Anyway, cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So do we want to talk about Nanette? Was it Hannah Gatsby's Nanette is its official name?
Yes.
I've done a lot of talking, so I'm going to defer to you guys to talk more about this.
Right. Yeah, I think I just really want to get your guys' thoughts because, you know, I watched it, I guess, 2 weeks ago at this point. And I think for me, I was really taken by just, A, how it was a complete, like, ripping inside out of what we think of as stand-up comedy and, like, how she really... It's equal parts pulling back the curtain and like exposing the wizard in terms of like, this is how you formulate a joke. And this is how you structure a comedy show, and just completely then inverting it and changing it and making it something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it almost wasn't a stand-up comedy show anymore. It really became a one woman show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what Jay thought as well.
Yeah, and I just thought that was so cool. And I think the other thing, and this is kind of a complete separate thing, but I saw on Instagram that she did her last performance of Nanette like a week or two ago. It's not just that she did it this one time. She was doing it over and over and over again for like a year. And I think she had been doing it, perfecting the show for a while before they recorded it, which is standard for a comedy special, that like, it's a show that is really well rehearsed and like, you know, where all the jokes land and like, it's well rehearsed by the time you actually get to taping. But like something like that, that's just so raw and emotional to have to go there over and over and over again, like night after night. Like, I think it's, part like I can't decide if it'd be more cathartic or more masochistic, you know, and I don't know, like it's just so, it must be so emotionally draining.
I thought it was very brave, just to put in that forum, and I think that one of the reasons it's probably is like what you were saying is you go in expecting a comedy show, or you know, into at least the Netflix for most of us, and you come out with, you know, just a whole different experience. And I thought that was really brave and really just brilliant. It was very moving.
The unexpected component of it, I think, is really cool. Like walking into it, not completely knowing where it's going, I think is really important and valuable as a viewer.
Yes.
Which I think is also why I think I find myself, I'm speaking in really vague terms about it. Because it's like, I know, like, we're spoiler alerts, like, this is a thing. But, like, I also don't want to spoil it for someone who hasn't seen it yet. Because I think that's such an important part of the experience, is walking in not completely knowing what you're about to witness.
Yes.
Yeah, and I had heard from people, because it had been recommended to me by a couple of different people. And I had sort of heard a little bit, like, so I knew that it wasn't strictly comedy. Like, I thought it was something else entirely.
I thought it was a documentary, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was more like that, and I thought we were going to see a little like bit of her stand up at the beginning. I kept waiting for it.
Yeah,
that
was
going to
be like interspersed.
Yeah, and then we didn't, and then it was like, okay, well, this is really funny. And then some things that were really real, and I sort of knew to, like, I don't know, some of the feedback that we got that I had read, you know, beforehand. I was like, okay, well, because I mean, can we again? Like you said, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but like, you know, somebody like Joanne, for example, had commented, like, make sure you have a box of Kleenex. And I kept being like, really? Cause like, this is really funny. You know what I mean? And then, and then you're like, okay, yeah, that fucking box of Kleenex would be great right now.
Nice thing about Netflix.
Yeah.
Pause, go get
it.
Come back.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that I'd completely forgotten was the first time somebody told me about it. She's like, oh, she said she thought of me and my other friend who we both studied art history. And so that was my very first time it was recommended to me. And then I had kind of like completely forgotten. And then I thought it was like something that was French because of Nanette. And so I was kind of, I was all over the place.
Yeah.
So when I finally watched it, I was like, okay. Okay. It's not what I was expecting, but it was amazingly wonderful. The kind of thing that like, so I watched it last night, which was after my acupuncture, I was super tired and I just came home and was like, okay.
Yeah, that must have been tough. That must have been real tough. You were all bent
wrong.
Out.
Like, but it was like the good kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Emotional release. Holy shit. But definitely this morning, like on my walk to work and like even as I was getting to my building, like I found myself still just like thinking about it and, you know, back in her show. And I remember like basically at the very end of watching it, I had simultaneously the desire to watch it again and also the impossibility of watching it again, at least right away. Like, there was part of me that was like, oh my God, I need to watch this the second time before we record. Like it was so good. And then the other part was like, I don't think I can handle watching it again. Like,
yeah. I actually wish that because we started it on Sunday night and then my parents came down to talk to us because we were at my parents' house and we didn't finish it until this afternoon, and I had wished that I had left time to watch it again just so I could like reference more things about it, because it's a lot to take in, a lot to think about. And the only joke that really like stands out that I can remember off the top of my head is when she talks about how like she doesn't assume all bald babies are men, she just thinks they're angry feminists.
And she respects, and she treats them with respect. That
which,
was pretty good.
Yeah, which I thought was really funny. But no, I just, yeah, I wish that I had watched it again, because just to absorb more of it. And
I think it's worth watching again. But I mean, same thing. Like I was going to watch with a notebook and like take notes. And there were a couple of times where there was like a really good quote and I was going to write it down on my phone because I didn't have my notebook with me. But then I was kind of like, just fucking focus on, you know, but I would say like some of the main takeaways for me was, I mean, besides the obvious, which I guess I won't give away if we're
Skip ahead here, guys, a couple of minutes. I'll set a timer for 2 minutes so that way you can talk freely. Okay, go.
Okay, so there's like all of the obvious just like rage and anger at the structures in place. And that was really powerful. And also this idea, like you can't necessarily separate the man from the art, nor should you. And that's an idea that has been, I mean, even my fucking feminist, wonderful husband loves Woody Allen, and we've had these conversations
that really struck me too. It's something we've talked about a lot.
Yeah. And he can still separate the artist from the work. And it's like, no, like here's the thing, like maybe some Woody Allen movies are good. I mean, whatever. I don't particularly like Woody Allen in general, but like, I get it that like, there's this whole population that does, particularly the French, they just adore him. But so I understand that like when there's an artist or, you know, whoever it may be that you really like their art, I can understand that, but I would rather concentrate my time and energy and economic power on somebody who's not like raping children and marrying their stepdaughters. And, you know, like, it's okay if like, I'm okay with letting go of their artistic expression and focusing it on somebody else who may well have flourished if they had been focused on, you know what I mean? Like, if they had been given a chance. So there was that, but also just this idea of the part of the story that we focus on The part of the story that we choose to focus on, like, gains importance. Do you know what I'm?
Yeah,
do you guys remember when she was talking about that? She said it much more eloquently, but
yeah,
it was just such like a good. I don't know. I think a good reminder for everyone on all levels, yes, having to do with everything in life and not just.
We're
the
at
area.
The 2 minute mark. Skip ahead for another 60 seconds, guys. Okay,
wow,
go.
That was 2 minutes. That was fast.
Yeah, and Shandy was so eloquent that I'm not going to edit any of that. So it's a full 2 minutes. No, okay. Please go ahead. I'm not cutting you off. I'm giving everybody a skip ahead one more minute notice.
Okay. Yeah. No. And I'll finish. That's all. I was trying to say that more eloquently, but you know that thing, like. And it's just so true. Like, if you focus on one thing, then that's the thing that becomes important. And that's how you create your own mythology. We all create our own mythologies. And so it's just this like idea that it's, you know, it's what you choose to focus your energy and your time on.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I'm never going to look at sunflowers the same way again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and just it's, yeah. And that parallel with mental health and how we think about crazy and depressed and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her anger, though, I mean, her anger is just so, like, room-stopping. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think it's a great example of someone, you know, and she says she's an introvert, and I think
skip ahead one more minute if you're coming in here. Okay.
I think it's the kind of message that is best delivered by an introvert because they spend so much time in their own head.
Yeah.
That, you know, the words were chosen carefully,
yes,
and eloquently and perfectly because she had a whole lifetime to verbalize her pain and her story and reclaim it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just loved it.
Yeah. It was great. I highly recommend. Sorry if we only skipped ahead 30 seconds if you didn't, if you're back, but we definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
It's something.
One last, yes, non-spoilery thing. I was just so impressed by the structure of how she wrote it. And I think, like, that's what a good show will do. And that's what she did so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, there are these little hints in the beginning and these things that, yep, you laugh at and these, and to come full circle the way that she did, it just really, like,
yep. She's a master of her craft. And I think this isn't spoilery either, but, you know, she says that I'm quitting comedy. And like, this is like her final goodbye to comedy. And I think it is kind of ironic that this piece has become such a cultural touchstone at the moment that it's kind of like you want to see what she's going to do next. And also, you know, to sort of speak off of what you were saying, Shandy, about the structure and how she knew where to place things. It's just, it's a master of their craft,
mm-hmm,
you know, performing their opus. And I think it would be, mm-hmm, it would just be a real disservice to the world if she doesn't continue to do something. Like, I'm so excited to see what she does next because she broke all the rules. So now she can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited to see what else is in that incredibly smart brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've pinpointed what I found to be so brave and brilliant about it is she's not saying something that isn't a message that women are starting to speak out more and more about. She said it in a way that grabbed your attention, that really set her apart and made it stand out and was just a very brave way of doing it. And that was what I really enjoyed about it.
Definitely. And I think like for the male audience, as long as they can get to the place where they're watching it, I think they'll get it. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean that to sound like talking down to men or anything, but I think it can be understandably difficult to put yourself into a position of understanding what the female experience is like if you are a man and if, you know, especially in this era, like if you do kind of feel like you're not allowed to do or say anything or, you know, whatever. But I think that if you kind of, she brings you in with the comedy and then like, oh my God, you relate to her, you know? So it like, it's very, just very, very well done.
Yes.
So I think that hopefully a lot of men will actually watch it.
Yeah. Well, yes. And it is a tough watch for the men, like the men. And she admits it. She says, you know, like I am going to shit on you. Like, yeah. You need to hear this. This is going to be painful. This is going to be tough, but like,
but it's an hour of your life. Exactly. Not a lifetime. So
exactly.
And you can handle.
So admittedly it is, and it's meant to be uncomfortable. And I think that I really loved how much she spends on talking about tension and discomfort and that whole relationship. Cause it does make it more impactful.
Yes.
Because you're getting warned the whole time that like,
yes,
this is going to be uncomfortable. It's meant to be uncomfortable.
Yes.
And yeah, I think if you can sit through it, I think you come out with a bit more empathy, I would hope.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that like it's meant to be uncomfortable is right after we watched that, we watched Don Oliver and he has an interview with Anita Hill. And in it, you know, he's talking about sexual harassment and how a lot of men, not a lot of men, I'll just say, and men in general were asking, as we talked about in the show last year, when Me Too really blew up, where's the line? Like, can I be alone? Should I be terrified to be alone in a room with a woman?
And right, don't pull on Mike Pence.
And that's, she goes, if you're somebody, and she essentially says, if you're somebody that's planning on committing sexual harassment or sexual assault, then yes, you should be terrified. But if you're like a normal person who's listening and learning how to treat somebody with respect like they're a human being, then no, you shouldn't be terrified. So that kind of just, you know, reminds me of what you just said, where with tension and whatnot.
Yeah.
And before I forget, we had some feedback from Susan who said, if you want to see Hannah Gadsby in something different, she's in several episodes of Please Like Me on Hulu. It's 32 half-hour episodes, and I really enjoyed it. It's mostly comedy with a bit of drama mixed in. And I just wanted to get that in there. That's what she said, Matt. because you had just asked, you can't wait to see what she's done next, but you can see what she's done before.
Nice. And Joanne also wrote in.
Yeah.
So we do have an email from Joanne titled A Must See to the Broadcasters 3. Wow. I just watched the absolute best comedy hour ever. Nanette on Netflix. The comedian is Hannah Gadsby. I have never cried. Not cried because something was so funny, but cried because something was so truthful and honest and sad during a comedy show before, and was also able to laugh and chuckle and be outraged and be thoughtful about Picasso and Van Gogh. It is an amazing tale. It is raw at times, poignant, hilarious. Please, please, please watch it and plan on a segment on the upcoming show to discuss.
We did!
We got you, girl. That's called synergy. And everyone listening, if you want to be moved in many wonderful, funny, and sorrowful ways, please watch. I will say I watched because the Washington Post did an article that I started reading and mentioned the art stuff about Picasso. Ha! Huh. I was fooled into an hour that covered so much from the personal to the political, from the art history to the individual trauma. Oh, and have the tissues nearby, Joanne. Yeah, I agree with all of that.
Yep. All right, well, guys, check it out. Let us know what you think. TheBroadcasters3@gmail.com or give us a call, 331-276-2373. I think now it's time to get into a little bit of facey back.
Woo!
Woo!
Yay!
Farting in your facey back. Here we go. Mandy shared a video with us about an orgasm alarm clock. If this orgasm alarm clock can't get you to wake up on time, nothing will.
Jesus.
And it's literally like a vibratory alarm clock. Oh, and
yep, it is.
Get you where.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Although I wonder if you'd have to wear underwear, I would imagine, to keep it in place. So what if you're like,
are you saying you do not wear underwear?
I don't wear underwear
not
to sleep.
Always. If I shower, like if I worked out at night and I shower before bed, I don't put underwear back on. Because then you're just, you know, then you wear underwear at I don't have enough underwear to be wearing two pairs a day.
Okay, I have
throw it in the laundry.
Okay, I have a lot of underwear, so I could wear like 20 pairs a day. But to be fair, most of mine is also well, whatever, old. But
we don't have to get
we don't have to talk about that. I don't wear underwear in general because I don't know. My mom and my aunt always told me to air it out when I went to sleep.
I just kind of like the feeling of underwear.
Oh, I do too. I wouldn't go without underwear, like out of the house.
Yeah, no, but, I wouldn't
I don't want to waste the underwear to wear it to bed.
No, I just
sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know.
I find it more comfortable in bed.
Oh, I don't.
That's fair.
Because you get wedgies when you sleep or front wedgies. What's a front wedgie called?
Camel toe.
Camel toe. Thank you. Yeah, I move around. I move in my sleep. Like I'm a side or a stomach sleeper, primarily like a stomach sleeper. So like I would get like the camel toe if I wore underwear.
I feel like a front wedgie is okay though.
No, but I don't know when I'm sleeping. I just want to be free.
I think I see where both of you are coming from. I see it from all sides.
Many sides, Amanda. There are many sides.
There are good people on both sides here.
That's very true. That's very true. One of us likes to just, you know, be free-flowing vag. The other needs some support. Stability.
Yeah, you know, buckle it up.
Maybe this could be the new sock-shoe debate.
Oh, yes. Do you wear underwear at night or not?
Yeah. And I want to hear from dudes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can all participate.
Yeah. Like I said, all the sides can participate.
All the sides.
Okay. Anyway.
as we all sit and quietly ponder.
Yeah. Orgasm alarm clock. Sure. Why not? Send it our way. We'll try it out.
I don't know. I feel like it would be hard to use on a weekday. It's like most people don't
but
give
it might
themselves
be the best work
amount
day.
Of time in the morning.
Yeah, all you need like is to set it like 5 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier.
Well, I was going to say it says it's supposed to. You're supposed to, you know, set aside 5 minutes. And Amy says 5 minutes. Who has time for that in the morning? So she doesn't even have the 5 minutes.
Yeah, but like if it's 5 minutes
to for people.
I'm just saying if it's 5 minutes to feel good. That might be a better endorphin start of your day than like getting up an hour early to exercise.
I don't disagree with you. It's one of those things that I feel like in theory I'm like all on board with, but like when push comes to shove.
when push comes to clit.
Yeah, I feel like I would not. It would just be like, I don't have time for this.
When oh my God, I missed out. When push comes to bush.
Oh.
push nice. In the bush.
My alarm to remind you about the Hulu just came up.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. You might need to reset that for another hour. Yeah.
It was overly ambitious.
What
I
happens, what so happens if you hit snooze? Do you just keep orgasming over and over again?
Oh, for this.
Ah.
Well, I feel like that would be kind of tough because you figure what the average snooze is 10
eight.
Minutes.
Mine set for 8 minutes because you can adjust it in your iPhone.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a quick turnaround.
It is. I'm just pondering like this. You know, if you kept hitting snooze,
right? I don't know.
All right, just somebody send it to us. We'll take one for the team and test it out. JP says, "Well, I am officially obsolete." We haven't gotten a good JP email in a while since season two.
Ooh. Yeah. True.
It's been a minute.
Calling you out, dude. Rose says, topic for next week, you're welcome. It's an article from people.com. It says, summer penis is real. Doctors agree that heat may make men's penises appear larger. And it has a picture of somebody who does not appear to be that large. And
wait. You can see.
Click on the link.
Oh my God. Have I told you guys about the server at this place in Big Sur?
Is it bigger than this dude's cock that you can see pretty clearly?
It's way bigger than this dude's cock that you can see through.
Because this doesn't, I mean, sorry, Shani, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that there's this guy at this restaurant I've gone to a couple of times, and he is just this little petite guy, and he is like super like hipster, and he wears these really tight jeans. But again, petite and short, just like this tiny little man. And his pants are very tight, and holy fucking shit, that guy doesn't wear underwear. And you can see the exact outline of his cock through his jeans, and it's huge. It's like... I mean, the whole table, we were all like, okay, we have, like, remember to look up. His eyes are up there.
Shandy.
But tiny guy, huge cock.
Okay. Wow.
It was mesmerizing, really.
Sweet. Good for him. As far as Rose's article, summer is in full swing, and so too apparently is a phenomenon called summer penis. The internet has been abuzz about the idea that penises appear to be larger in the summer and smaller in the winter. Ever since journalist Tracy Moore wrote about it earlier this month in a feature for MEL magazine. In her story, Moore explains that summer penis is a temporary fluctuation that, quote, thanks to heat and warmth, gives you a months-long leg up on shaft size. It's like if a woman's boobs suddenly got huge from May to August.
Or just when she's on her period.
Yeah, right. Or nursing.
Or pregnant.
Yeah, that too. More quoted Reddit users who claimed in a 2016 we pretend the year 2016 doesn't exist around these parts, so let's skip this. Yeah. Anyway, she spoke to several urologists who backed up the men's claims and attributed. See, I'm sorry, I wasn't just Freudianly talking about bigger penises.
It took me a second.
Backed up the men's claims and attributed the apparent growth in penis size to the fact that blood vessels may expand in the summer to regulate heat. Blah 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 blah. Science. Okay, so. though this does end with a quote from the doctor: stick a guy in an ice cold lake in the middle of the summer and his penis will shrink to winter size.
Get your winter size penis on there.
Yeah. Oh my god, you need your summer shorts and your winter shorts to adjust for your penis size.
Plan your outfit accordingly.
Yes, depending on which way you hang. I will say though, I understand, like, you know, little caveat before I even begin this. I understand it's not a one-to-one comparison, but I feel like, you know, any woman walking down the street, you can see immediately if she has like big boobs, small boobs, medium boobs. I kind of wish that we could see the same for dudes. Just saying.
Well,
I mean, this guy at this restaurant, he's onto something. Yeah. I want everyone's cock to be showing through their jeans. Show me what you got.
Yes. Okay. If you would like to give us feedback on this, you can, because we are equal opportunity here. However, there is literally no creepy harassment pressure. We're cool if you also don't. We're just going to use our imaginations.
Yeah. You do what you feel comfortable doing.
Exactly. And then as far as last week's episode goes with Amanda's crush on the president of Croatia, JP says, I have officially started my search for her autograph.
And you think he's joking, but he's not.
I know. I am waiting for it.
Mm-hmm. I know. He's not. Vicky says, Christopher Eccleston's doctor is a great place to start. His level of sass easily makes him my favorite doctor, followed closely by David Tennant. Matt says that's
kind of controversial in the Doctor Who universe.
Because Tennant's like supposedly like the best, right?
I don't know. Because he did it for like 3 seasons. We did it for a long time. But like the reboot started to gain popularity, particularly for an American audience.
Okay.
When David Tennant took over. Because Christopher Eccleston only did it for the first season of the reboot.
Oh, okay. Yes, I knew that, I think.
I forget the actor's name. The doctor with the big long scarf was like he was like the quintessential, like from the earlier days. Like everyone remembered him from the 70s. And I can't remember the actor's name. And I'm sorry, I'm a bad Doctor Who fan.
It's okay. We have hashtag Mattsplaining. Doctor Who is pretty easy to jump into. Usually the first appearance of a new doctor is the best time to start. Of the new run, the Tennant years are generally the best. Okay, so that's the same as what you were just saying. As for Handmaid's Tale...
best. They're the most popular.
As for Handmaid's,
the Doctor Dances is still my favorite.
Who's your favorite still? Sorry, I just cut you off.
The Doctor Dances is my favorite episode, which is a Christopher Eccleston episode.
Cool. As for Handmaid's Tale, yeah, it's an intense run this season. I'm sure stuff this season will hit you pretty hard. Maybe you should have a lighter show to cleanse your palate. If Fleabag only, Killing Eve, You Glow, New Jane the Virgin, Someone One Day at a Time, who The Good Place, had The Magicians, Show, Broad City to Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, recommend Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So, okay, there's a lot of things there going on, and we'll get there. We have the apartment, the divorce, the what? What is it called?
The apartment.
Okay,
the apartment.
We still have that.
And I will say I started a different new show.
Ooh.
It's not exactly a palate cleanser, but have you guys been watching Sharp Objects?
I read the book of Sharp Objects. I didn't really like it that much.
Oh no! Well, don't tell me, because I've been watching it, and so far the season is, like, the TV show is really good.
Well, Gott,
yeah,
I think Gott and somebody else had both done both and said that the TV show was better than the books.
So oh,
far.
Really?
Yeah. Well, or maybe they're talking about Gone Girl, because I also hated Gone Girl.
Okay.
Oh, I liked Gone Girl. I didn't see the movie, but I read the book.
I did not like the book. I liked Sharper Objects a lot better than Gone Girl, and I liked the third one that she read, I think, the best out of all of them, which
that
I don't
she read that she wrote
that she I'm sorry the yes that she wrote that I read, because I read the three that were okay. Big when Gone Girl came out. I think I liked the third one that I cannot remember the name of it right now, the best out of the three of them. I didn't hate Sharper Objects, but I didn't like it as much, and I definitely hated Gone Girl, like hated it.
I like that you're calling it Sharper Objects.
Is it just
well, because if the TV version is supposed to be better than the film, then you, or the film, the book, then maybe you'd call it Sharper.
What is it called? Sharp Objects?
It's called Sharp Objects.
I'm thinking of Sharper and, Image. But.
Yeah. I will say the TV show is done by the same guy who did season one of Big Little Lies.
All right. I will check it out at some point.
Yeah. It's on my list. I feel like I try to only watch a few things at a time. Just, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and it's not exactly like a pick-me-up show, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had an email from Kathy about Doctor Who as well.
Kathy says, definitely start with Eccleston for Doctor Who. Thanks for the surprise episode. Love you guys. Kathy.
Oh, love you too.
Thanks, Kim.
Nice. I love those, like, short little drop-in notes.
Yeah. Yes. I think that I'm definitely just going to start with the Eccleston ones then.
Yeah, start at the beginning. Very good place to start. Well, at the second beginning.
Yes. All right. So we have Matt's What She Says before we get into the emails. It was too naturally hot to sit in. I feel like I made it somehow. My stuff is out there, especially in the summertime. I'll go back and finish. Matt, that was a free one. And don't you forget it. Let's do all of it in one day and finish it. We have exactly 3 minutes left. I wish. We're going to do that real, real quick. Now we're definitely done. It only happened once, and half the people there were like, I'm out. And the other half of us were like, we're drunkenly like, ugh.
I said that. It was the political discussion.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. We have spoken a lot tonight, so when we get into our let's pivot into some actual, just straight up feedback mode. Let's hear from Greg, who is going to tell us about blockers.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. It's Greg. I just want to call in real quick with a few thoughts about the movie Blockers. I had a Redbox code for Rowan Gillen, whatever, and I saw Blockers and was like, of course, I need to see Blockers. It's been so highly recommended by you three, and I heard it was funny, so I decided to check it out. So I did. I watched today, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. I thought, like, the three adults, I don't know all the actors' names, but the three parents were really good together, and the three girls were really good together. So both main story is really, really entertaining and really funny. And I like that the jokes kind of were at two different levels. One was the kids, one was the kids, one was the parents. Kind of appreciated those. Thought it was really entertaining. So, yeah, I guess that's all. I'm trying to think back to what you ladies discussed. I also did like the ending of how it wasn't like not everybody did it and not everybody didn't do it. It was kind of a mix going on all the way. One just, you know, had the guy go down on it, and the other one, you know, came out. And it was all pleasurable and a win for each of those girls in their own way. And I like that for the parents, I kind of related to the whole aspect of being friends with somebody for a while during a certain period of your life, and then years down the road thinking, well, are we still friends? Are we really friends? Or is it just because of acquaintances, or in this case, their daughters being friends? So that really struck a chord for me. It really got me thinking about certain people in my life that I could definitely say that we were friends for a certain period and nothing bad happened necessarily, but we're no longer as close as we once were. So the movie really spoke to me in that way, and so it was really funny. Kind of hit on the truth. I didn't expect to see the fat aspect of it, so really enjoyed it. Thanks for the recommendation. Hope you guys are having a great show so far, and I'll catch you later. Bye.
I want to point out that the Google transcript says, really enjoying the sister recommendation.
Love that feature.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I'm really glad that you liked it.
Yeah, no, and I love what Greg was saying about the adult friendships, because that is super relatable. Like, maintaining friendships as an adult takes more work than when you're just a kid and you see the person at school every day.
Yes.
Right. Well, and also, like, being friends with someone out of necessity, like your kids are friends.
Right.
And it's not necessarily that, like, you chose to be friends. It's just by circumstance. And I think that's a really interesting point. It wasn't something that I don't think we brought up in our discussion. Mm-hmm. So thanks,
yeah.
Greg.
Yeah. Thank you. Everybody else, though, seriously, we totally, again, re-recommend it. We have another email from Eric. Hi, Colleen. Hi, Amanda. Hi, Shandy. Still cracking up over the story of my visit with Colleen and meeting the rest of the Jay and Jack crew at Comic-Con. I will so have to buy Nick a beer next time I see him to make it up to him. No. You still have to buy me a beer because I'm awesome. Great offense. Just kidding. That was a lot of fun catching up, and hope I can make it out next year as well. The Rebelcast proposed a Comic-Con session next year, and maybe it could be the whole group of podcasters. I have introduced even more people to the podcast and hope they will continue to listen. Yes! 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 Yes!
Thank you.
It's really great how the list of podcasts has grown since the days of the original Lost podcast. As I said, I also enjoy that the broadcast is an original content show outside of TV show-related podcasts. Not to add pressure, but your perspective from the women's marches and related issues gets passed on to my nephews and their friends, so keep up the good work. Looking forward to all of your adventures to come, and thank you for the kind words on the podcast. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Eric. Instagram, he's HB Pearside.
Awesome.
I mean, we're always down to do something with the Ramblecast. It's really, you have to ask them if they're down to do something with us.
Sure.
Truth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. But thank you, Eric. And, you know, it was awesome again to meet you. And come out next year. We'll be there. It's going to be super fun. We're going to all be in bed by 10 o'clock. Except for Jana, who did fall asleep on the floor in Mike's hotel room at like 9 o'clock, but we won't talk about that.
That's okay.
I've been there.
I get it.
Anyway, we're gonna finish.
Happens to the best of us.
Yes, it does. Clearly, because it was Jana, so literally the best of the best of us. Anyway, yeah, no, it was great to see you again, Eric, and keep sending us feedback. Come on, you know you want to. We're fun.
And if you like meeting up with everyone, consider coming to the Raleigh meetup.
Start checking flight prices now.
That's a great segue. Well done.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Do that. That'd be super cool. And, you know, set your Google flight alert now, like we were just talking about an hour and a half ago. And as soon as it goes up $10, make a purchase and you're all set. You know, yeah, I definitely recommend everybody come to Raleigh. It's the best. Okay, we're going to finish up with the last few weeks in Andy's Virginite.
All right, so Andy writes in, "Hey, broads. Glad to hear you all had fun on your break. My break was closer to Amanda's than Shandy's and Colleen's, but I still have some good stuff for this update. Since I last wrote, I joined a book club, which was a lot of fun, even though I did not finish the book in time for the meeting, doing much better this month." Andy, I feel like that's kind of like a rule of book club.
Yeah.
Nobody finishes the book.
Sure.
It's a great thing for me to get some socializing in and hopefully some good reading. I want to wish anonymous dater good luck trying online dating. We've gone over a lot of my difficulty trying to date, but maybe she'll have more success. Personally, I didn't see any big differences between paying for a dating site and not, aside from knowing who liked your profile, and even that rarely helped. Often it would be someone who lived an hour or more away from me. I'm guessing most of the women I wanted to talk to were burnt out on dating and looking for a sure thing and didn't see it in me. As for Dan's question, there are a few reasons beyond the legal one for why I haven't paid a professional. For starters, I don't think they could give me what I need in a first time. No matter how convincing they could be, it would still be a fantasy. Not to judge those who do that, but having someone be with me only because I'm paying them makes me uneasy and feeds into my insecurities about finding someone who genuinely feels that way for me. Also, I've mentioned before, I have concerns with how my first time will affect me. There's no way to be entirely sure until I actually do it, but I believe it will be an intense experience, and I want it to be with someone who will help me through that. I've heard there are professionals that can help through that, but I doubt I could afford them, and it would still be an act. This is the reason why I haven't had a one-night stand either. Now that that is out of the way, I have an update.
Ooh.
Recently, I went to celebrate one of my friends getting married. Thankfully, the loneliness I felt at the last wedding I went to didn't come as strong, in part because I had a lot more friends to hang out with. Also, there's a friend I'll call Alice. Alice and I get along pretty well, but she's more a friend of a friend. We wouldn't hang out unless one of our mutual friends, like the groom, invited us to some event. As you can probably guess, I've had a crush on her for a while now. The problem was she lived a ways from my home. While we were talking, I found out she moved to one of the nearby towns I regularly visit. So I began to think about making a move or at least getting the ball rolling and seeing where it winds up. Rather than just sending Alice a DM, which hasn't worked for me with online dating and might be awkward coming from an acquaintance, I figured I'd ask for some help. So the other night I asked my friend Marshall if he knew if she was seeing anyone. I wonder if Andy's a fan of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh my God, I was thinking if he was
a thinking that too.
Okay, I was wondering if he was a fan of Paw Patrol, but okay. We are clearly all in very different places.
You're right. It has to be Paw Patrol.
We have different cultural references now. Okay, so asked Marshall if he knew if she was seeing anyone. Now, counting you three, this is the first time I've ever asked a friend for help with my love life, ever. Leading up to it, my nerves were trying to keep me from doing it, but that night I took a step out of my comfort zone and began to put myself out there. While I wait for news, I have to acknowledge this is a big win for me. Of course, I'm okay if Colleen petitions the universe to point this lady in my direction. I think you three would like her. She even has a necklace reading, "Nevertheless, she persisted."
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, she passes the test already. Switching gears to the masturbation discussion. Besides celebrities and models, the women I fantasize the most about are the ones who got away, the ones I could never work up the courage to ask out, or the ones I was oblivious to when they were right in front of me. There were times when I'd be close to doing something, but then I'd psych myself out and then beat myself up about it afterwards. Quite literally. Regret has been... Sorry, that was my insertion. That's what she's got.
Roll.
Regret has been a big theme with my story and cycles of negative thought that keep me feeling it. Now I finally broke it and made a move, so no matter how it plays out, I can be happy knowing I tried. # I'm with hers, Andy. That's fucking right.
Nice. It's a lot of good stuff.
It's a lot of good stuff. It sort of, in a weird way, if you'll indulge me, reminds me of one of the messages of Nanette, which is like what you focus your energy on, what part of the story you focus on, yep. gives it importance. Yeah. And like, I love this concentrating on no matter what happens, like focusing on what you did. Like I was recently reading about some article online about like procrastinating, or I don't know, cause I'm like a terrible procrastinator. I procrastinate about everything. And that can make it hard, even harder to like start, because you're like, oh my God, I've been procrastinating forever. But then the idea was like focusing on like, well, what did you do? And then it like makes it easier to start all the rest. And it's kind of like this.
Yeah.
What did you do? You did something. It's great. Yeah. Everything else will fall into place. Colleen will petition the universe. It will
just
happen.
Just send it out there. Just send it out there. But awesome. Thanks, Andy. And, you know, keep giving us updates. We get our fingers crossed and our... No, Sandy, you send it out to the universe. Like, I do it. Do it for me. Go ahead.
We can do it together.
Yeah.
Okay. On the count of three.
One.
One.
Two.
Three. What is that? On the count of...
The count of jump.
Yes, thank you. I was like, God, what is it? That was also like the 20th anniversary or 30th anniversary or God knows what. That just came up.
Yes. Well, thank you, Andy, again. Thank you, everybody who has submitted feedback. Once again, you can give us a call at 331-276-2373, or you can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. And we love feedback, clearly. So hit us up anytime. A special thank you to the patrons, especially Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Ed the, Ed the Skidmark Detective, Ed the Skid, yes, Inspector Skidmark, Molly Millennial, Meg the Magnificent. Thank you guys so much. So now we're on the last day of July. A very big thank you to Joanne, who has really done an awesome job, like, trying to rally patrons this month. So we really, really appreciate it more than we can say. Like, you rock. So a very, very, very extra special thank you to Joanne. And welcome to our newest patron, Stephanie.
Yay!
Yay! We're happy to have you on board. Check out the latest Fartgate podcast. We have one more episode planned for to finish up, and... Personally, I think that it's pretty freaking awesome. Like the first
conclusion.
The dramatic conclusion. Stay tuned for that. If you'd like to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to janejack.com/Amazon. If you want to check out merchandise, you can go to janejack.com/store. Next week, I think, do we want to talk about the apartment next week?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
All right, cool. Sure. We'll watch The Apartment. It's a movie. We'll watch it next week. Well, stay tuned. We're going to do Handmaid's Tale within the next couple of weeks as well. But I guess on that note...
And maybe one or two of all those suggestions that Matt gave us.
Yes. Oh my God. Matt gave us a lot of suggestions. So we are definitely going to have to list those out. I'll put it in my notebook. We'll figure it out. Yeah. But I was going to do an astrology article this week. I read it and it was lame. So I didn't do it. But that's where that went. So I just wanted to follow up with that. So anyway, stay tuned for the next couple of weeks. And check out Nanette if you haven't yet. And yeah, I guess that's about it from my end. Anybody else have anything?
And every week.
Every week. Nobody ever has it. One of these weeks, you guys are going to have something. One of these weeks.
Yeah.
But all right.
I think I need to start thinking of something. Something to say.
Yeah, just anything. Just be like,
like Arrested
squirrel.
Development, like a fake,
yeah,
a fake thing from my life. Like, make up some random story.
Steve Holt.
Moving to Arizona.
Yeah. All right. On that note, guys, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Have a great week. Peace out.
Bye.